Say again?
Did she see her picture from last week?
Her picture from last week?
Did she show a picture of her?
Oh, no, she never watched it. She never saw it. No, she never saw her picture, her karate picture. No, she never saw that.
So. Because you had it right there on the screen. If she was watching that, she could have seen it.
She could have seen it. So her loss, that's okay. But she'll be home tomorrow night, and she sends her love. And
I bet you'll be glad.
I'll be better, yes. So today I get to continue in my conversation with you. This is part four of a long series, it seems, about talking about the four stages of spiritual awakening, looking at Dr. Michael Beckwith's map of our process of awakening. And so as we consider moving out of victimhood and moving into our capacity to manifest a greater good, moving into a dimension of our way of being that connects with our higher self, and ultimately being the one unto our own life, wherever we find ourselves. And the neat thing about it is that already many of you are coming to me and saying, is it possible to be in these four different stages of awakening within one's life? And the answer is yes, of course it is. But predominantly we are centered in a kind of life is happening to me kind of way of being. And so we're going to unpack that a little bit and try to move out of that. So we move into the dimension of our capacity to be unto our own life an agent of change, of transformation. So we're going to move in that direction today. And I'm calling this authentic being and conscious doing, because we're going to look at that as a way of reminding us that we need to be present with respect to what we're having in the context of who and what we've come here to be. Because what we're having is an invitation to unfold our imprisoned splendor so that we can be unto our own life the way through which God expresses. And also to be conscious, so authentic being and conscious doing, to be able to know, bless you, to know that we are here to make a difference. And so our need is to be able to do unto ourselves a greater good that only happens when we move out of unconscious doing into conscious doing. I'll say more about that. So another thing that people have been coming up to me saying is that I'm just starting to get this stuff now, which is really cool because I know this is really hard. This is hard to grasp. And I'm experiencing a similar kind of frustration and difficulty right now in my own personal life that I just like to share. So many of you know that I have 40 years background in martial arts, and I really began my martial art experience in practicing Tai Chi. And Tai Chi is very soft. It's considered an internal martial art, which means that the focus is not on power and the capacity to impact what's happening in the outer, an opponent, to subdue some external enemy, but rather to be a presence, to be, instead of moving out of force and power, moving out of flow and presence. And so as I studied that art, and then when I got into the hard styles, I sort of lost that connection to that part of me that was all about flow, and I got into the power part. And so now for the last 6 months, I've been taking some lessons from Master Steve here. He's demonstrating just a couple of basic techniques, but the whole idea is that I have to retrain my whole being to begin to disengage my effort around dealing with the outer in terms of force. Instead, I have to be able to be present to what's happening in the terms of flow. And so I'm wanting to describe that shift. Al, would you come up here for a second? So, yeah, Al is going to help me with this demonstration to kind of illustrate the distinction between how we're kind of conditioned to show up in our world with respect to how our life is, in the sense that we're like this. Anybody feel like this ever?
Once in a while.
Yeah. Once in a while. So we've been trained to think that in order for us to have power, we have to be able to manage and control what's happening in the outer. And so I just want to demonstrate that right now. Wait a minute. Yeah, so the first service, here was the big crack when we did this. So right now, Al is a lot bigger than me. He's got an advantage with the leverage. It's right now where my elbow is, I can bend here. And my strength right here is going to be hard to be a match for his leverage. And so he's just going to demonstrate that there's no place where I can come up with strength that is going to stop him bending my arm. Go ahead. Okay. So that's it. So he's going to remember that level of strength. Now, I'm going to get in touch with Amber's wonderful meditation. I'm going to connect those roots down to the earth. And I'm just going to feel that energy flow. And I'm just going to imagine my arm is like a fire hose. And that water is flowing through it. And if you ever held onto a fire hose that was active, it doesn't bend very easy. So as Al begins to gradually apply pressure, I just simply stay focused on the flow. I imagine my fingers is shooting out, spraying all you guys over there. And see, Al is getting tired now. He's starting to put more pressure in to when it first bent my arm. So Al is going to get very exhausted here in just a moment. But the point is that, thank you, Al. The point is that when we come from a place of flow, when life is happening through us, when life is happening as us, when life is happening by us, there is so much more power than when I happens to me, you see. So we have to make that shift. And that shift is not easy when we have been conditioned to armor and guard ourselves with respect to what's happening in the outer. So, in the context of our effort to evolve, we are trying to understand the map. The map is life happens to me, and bless you, when that happens, I become a victim of my own making. And life happens through me, or by me, I should say. And this is a dimension of our spiritual awakening that moves us into the capacity to manifest a greater good. And then life happens through me. We become a channel. We connect up to our higher self. And then we become an avenue through which that which is seeking to express itself can live itself through us. And then finally, life happens as us. And that means that we are source unto our own life. And I'm in the process of describing through my story a way in which we can understand these four stages and the way in which we can begin to work through spiritual practice to reprogram our consciousness so that we can recreate a life that lives in the context of our purpose and passion, our authentic being, and be in the intent of consciously beginning to create a life that we are wanting to welcome into our experience. But before we can manifest that greater good, we have to be able to take what we're having and be able to make it for us instead of against us. That's the true alchemist that we need to become in the context of our capacity to own and therefore transform what we're having. But we have to be with what we have, with what we're having, as if it's for us, and that's going to take some internal shifts in order for that to happen. So in other words, we're going to work to a place where no matter what it is that we're having, independent of how it looks or feels, we want to have the capacity to always have it for us. And when it's for us, we can use it to create a greater good. So that's sort of where we're going with this map. And we've been talking about the whole idea of victimhood when we have our life happening to us. And so if we want to evolve out of that sense of victimhood, we need to understand that those four stages define the path. And so the path out of victimhood is become a manifester. Begin to get in touch with your capacity to create a different personal reality that doesn't live in the context of your yesterday self, but lives in the context of what your purpose and passion is, what you're here to create, bring forth, the difference that you're here to become and make in the world. And in order to do that, we have to intentionally work with our self-system. We have to begin to make conscious the habits that run us unconsciously, our habits of being, doing, and having. We have to make those things conscious because those things constitute our yesterday self. And if we have our yesterday self running our here and now moment, we just get more of the same patterns, the same triggers, the same unfortunate circumstances in our life. And so our path out of that begins with mapping our habits, our habits of being, our habits of doing, our habits of having, our habits of feeling, our habits of believing, our habits of perceiving and meaning-making. All of those habits constitute our unconscious self that runs us when we're not present and awake. And science tells us that 95% of our behaviors come from that dimension of ourself, the circuitry of our habits of being. And then the second thing that we have to be willing to do is we have to own what gets created when we live in the experience of separation, when we live as if someone or something is against us. When that becomes the context from which we have our life, then we create out of that sense of limitation, out of that sense that something's against me. And what we create has to be owned. We have to own it if we're to overcome it, if we're to transform it. And so part of our challenge, part of our struggle in this series is to gather all the resources, the spiritual practices that help us work with the whole beingness that we are, as opposed to any one of our parts. Because there's a part of us that can want a greater good, but then there's another part of us that doesn't feel worthy. And so when we aren't in alignment with our parts, with the circuitry of ourself, then we can have quite the frustrating experience in trying to make things different or better. All right. So I've been talking about a kind of victimhood that I have been struggling with. And just so we can be clear, all of us struggle with some form of victimhood whenever we have a sense that something's not happening or something's happening that we don't want. See, either in those two ways of being with what's happening, we can become a victim as if something's happening to me, something that I haven't welcomed or chosen, now something that I have to deal with or manage or control. And so my form of victimhood that I've been discussing is in the context of my career, my livelihood, my capacity to generate the income that helps me fulfill my hopes and dreams. Our hopes and dreams, when I speak about me, I'm talking about me and Jane. And how frustrating it is when, for whatever reason, something's not happening that a part of us, bless you, a part of us yearns for. Anybody feel like you've ever been in that kind of boat before? That there's something not happening out there that's tied to your own sense of well-being and worth. Okay, so that's the victimhood that I'm talking about, us kind of flipping. So that we see the very circumstances that are giving us that sense that something's not happening, that and that therefore I am less than because of that. Those are the very circumstances that we have to become present to and begin to manifest something different than having our life as if it's against us. We have to take those very circumstances and transform and not make the circumstances different, but to make us be able to welcome them without feeling diminished by those circumstances. So that's the trick. And so I've been talking about an area of my life with respect to money and my sense of not enough, and how Jane and I, through our own circumstances and our own choices, have created a kind of illusion of insufficiency where we got to a point where we had to do something because our current habits of unconscious spending had created an indebtedness that meant that we were unable to manage just being here in Spokane. 2 years ago, I mentioned talking about becoming a Lyft driver just to kind of make up some extra money. It got that bad. And I wasn't going to ask the church for more money because the church pays us. We're half-time. It's up to us to get the rest of what we need in other ways. And that's what we welcome because that's where we can be own our own journey. But in our effort to own our journey, we were stuck in the belief that what we were taking in was insufficient. And so we had to create a practice to get out of that limiting belief that what we had was insufficient to be able to accomplish our purpose. And I mentioned last Sunday, in part three, that we created a different practice. We went from unconscious spending to conscious spending, And one of the ways in which you can do that is go to all cash. When you go to all credit card, you can spend unconsciously. When you go to all cash, you cannot overspend. And so we did that for 6 months. And we discovered we had we could live within our means if we used cash. But when we went to unconscious spending, we created indebtedness. So that gave us a sense of empowerment. We began to have power with respect to our sense of not enough. So the story continues, and more of the story gets unfolded through all of the stages, and I'm going to be collecting this series, and it'll become something eventually. So we're just reeling this out a little bit at a time. When I only have 20, 30 minutes, and when I take 40 minutes, it's not good. So if I do it 25 minutes at a time, a little bit at each time, then it's much easier. So the whole idea of our victim card is that there's a little boy or a little girl attached to that, always. So part of the remedy, part of getting out of victimhood is taking care of that little boy or little girl, to know that that's part of the equation, that's part of the journey, that's part of the map. And that the ticket out of victimhood is ownership. And that part of ownership means that we have to be willing to own our journey. And ownership is going to be an important theme, an important value for us here at Unity Spiritual Center, because I'm introducing not only ownership in the context of our transforming our life and getting out of the sense of victimhood, but I'm also wanting us to begin to understand ownership in the context of our effort as a spiritual community, our effort to own our capacity to create an energetic field where we experience the very things that we're wanting to bring forth into our lives. So we create a field that brings forth a greater good just by our entering into this. And so the dynamic of ownership begins with our owning our life and ultimately owning our capacity to make a difference in our world. But as we begin to own our own life and begin this journey, one of the things that we need to understand is that it requires of us working with the circuitry of ourself in order to transform our life. And so let's listen to Dr. Joe, because he's going to give us a sense of how our self system defines our future.
So most people have experiences in their life that brand them emotionally. They feel fear, they feel anger, they feel bitterness, they feel frustration, they feel insecurity. And those emotions then become part of their identity. So once they think certain thoughts that turn on certain circuits in their brain that are equal to their insecurity, and then they feel insecure, the moment they feel insecure, they think more insecure thoughts, which makes more chemicals for them to feel insecure. And the repetition of that cycle over time conditions the body to subconsciously become the mind of insecurity. So then the person says, "I am insecure." And whenever you say, "I am anything," you're commanding your mind and body towards a destiny. So then most people's biology is, for the most part, their past. And so if you're not being defined by the vision of the future, some new possibility in your life, you're only left with the old circuitry in your brain and the old emotions of the past. So the question then is, can you believe in a future that you can't see or experience with your senses yet, but you've thought about enough times in your mind that your brain is literally changed to look like the experience has already occurred? Now, the latest research in neuroscience says you can change your brain just by thinking. So then, as you begin to think about a new possibility, and your brain begins to fire in new sequences and new patterns and new combinations, and you begin to plan your behaviors, and you begin to review in your mind, mentally rehearse who you're going to be in your life, the mere action of mental rehearsal begins to install the neurological circuits in your brain. Now your brain is no longer a record of the past. Now it's in fact a map to the future. And if you were then to begin to emotionally embrace your future before it's made manifest, in other words, you're not waiting for your healing to feel wholeness. You're not waiting for your new relationship to feel love. You're not waiting for the mystical moment to feel awe. You're not waiting for your success to feel empowered. That's the old model of reality, of cause and effect. In other words, the materialist, the person who's waiting for their wealth to come to feel abundance, they're living by that model of cause and effect. But the quantum model is about causing an effect, which means you begin to experience your own worthiness and your abundance before it occurs. You have to feel wholeness in order for your healing to occur. We have to feel love for ourselves and love for life in order for us to have love in our life. And so then to instruct people how to teach their body emotionally how that future could feel like before it's made manifest. If they do it properly, their body as the unconscious mind begins to believe it's living in that future reality in the present moment. And they're beginning to signal new genes in new ways that begins to change their body to look like the event has already occurred.
So as Dr. Joe basically sums it up by saying we must recondition our body to a new mind. And this translates into that we have to recondition the circuitry that is a part of our body-mind process to a different habit of being. We need to condition it to the habit of being the future self that we're trying to create. So we can either have our lives create and define us, or we can do that for ourselves. So we have to decide what is one we want to do, and then we have to understand what the effort entails. And so I have redrawn this circuitry. I showed you a different slide last time. I'll show that in a minute. But I've now moved this into a definite thing. It's the self-system circuitry. And so if you think about who you are as a person, your beingness, and that your beingness creates activity and action, doing, and that creates experiences, and that those experiences impact you emotionally, and that informs what you believe about yourself, and that also informs how you make meaning, and that also informs who you be. So it's a cycle, it's a system. And this circuitry is oversimplification of all the processes that define us in terms of our body-mind process. And in order to work with that circuitry, we need to understand it. And I've mentioned that the top part tends to be the circuits that define how we're having our life. If it's for us, or against us, as us, through us, that circuitry defines how we're having our life. And the bottom circuits have to do with our rationale. Why we have it the way we have our life. Why we have our life the way it is. And if we understand this, then if we're wanting to shift how we're having our life, if we want to move from victimhood to a manifester, if we want to move out of having our life as if it's against us to having our life for us, we have to change those circuits. We have to show up being and doing and having differently than our conditioned self, our old self. It's just that simple. It's not that easy, but it's just that simple. And then when we get to manifesting the bottom circuits, the feeling and what we believe and how we make meaning come into play in terms of manifestation. And so I'm going to unfold all of this and give you a sense of mastery around this information so that you see that we can develop practices that help us really work with these principles, align ourselves with the science, with understanding consciousness and the dynamics of mind and body and spiritual principles and the ways of the masters, teachers, and be able to bring all those resources to our effort to transform our lives. And so here in this different way of sharing the same information, our habits of being, doing, and having lock us into our yesterday self. And so as we make the effort to transform ourselves, let's get to the next one. Here we are. We need to also define what is a self system that's unencumbered by habits of being. What does that look like? What is that about? And so I'm going to explain that as well. Although I don't have enough time to go into a lot of detail now because I just have 3 more minutes left. Before my timer goes off. But the point being is that as we consider authentic being, conscious doing, and intentional having, let's just look at that part of the circuits. What does it mean to be authentic in the relationship to what you're having? Well, right now, in relationship to what we're having, we're triggered, and therefore our way of being is conditioned. And so if we had a choice, if we could choose however we wanted to be with whatever we're having in any given moment, and we could take 10 minutes to decide, would we not want to choose to come from a place of power, come from a place of integrity, come from a place of ownership, of self-responsibility, of understanding who we are? But if we take the moment at face value and just be triggered by it, then all the circuitry comes into play and our habits of being, doing, and having run the show. It's not rocket science. Okay. So we're not going to focus on the bottom part just yet, because we really want to understand what is my authentic being? And what does it mean to be conscious in the context of that? And how does that translate in terms of how I'm going to be having my life? And so as I try to apply these same principles to shifting a sense of I'm a disappointment, which leads to unconscious spending, which leads to having insufficiency, if that's the circuitry of my habits of being, what does it mean to be authentically present to the dynamic of what appears to be insufficiency? What conscious thing must I do in the presence of the appearance of this seeming insufficiency? And how must I be willing to contextualize this that I'm having so that I feel empowered instead of embondaged? So I have to do all these things, and if I don't have a map to follow, I don't know what exactly precisely to do. And so that's what is coming forth. That's what we're creating together, is this map, this system. Now, I have to finish my talk. So because this is just stone soup anyway, because it's last minute, you know how it happens when you have company at the last minute or you have to cover for somebody's talk at the last minute, you throw something together. All right, so I'm throwing something together. So I have written two chapters on authentic being and conscious doing in my book, The Soul's Conspiracy, and it's in the bookstore, and you can pick one of those up if you like it. And if you're really wanting to practice working on your circuitry, your self system, you should acquire one of Dr. Joe's meditation CDs. I especially like his meditation on breaking the habit of being yourself, because it enables, the timer just went off, it enables you to really begin to work with your circuitry and really be clear and understand how you can upload different programming. So the last slide I have is for those of you who are involved in spirit groups. So part of the effort is in bringing forth a kind of transformative map that helps us kind of identify what we want to work on and how to work it through the system. That's what these discussion questions are for. If you're in spirit groups or if you just want to take these and just begin to collect them as a part of the spiritual practice in the context of this information. First, consider a habit or a life pattern that is automatic, reactive, impulsive, or unconscious. So do you have something like that? Probably every one of us does. Next, identify the habits of being, doing, and the who or what is the matter with you in relation to that unconscious habit. That's important. Next, discuss how these habits fall into the categories conditioned being, unconscious doing, and self-defining having. What I have is who I am. Someone's phone just went off. It was silenced quick enough to avoid the $100 penalty. Yes, we make all sounds sacred at Unity Spiritual Center. We just attach to the unpleasant sound a $100 love offering, and we welcome it. Right, Dr. Jim? All right. Okay, so Then finally, discuss what changes might you imagine in how you are having your life when you consider the path out of victimhood as authentic being, conscious doing, and intentional having. So your job this week is to begin to look at authentic being, conscious doing, and intentional having. Those are your power tools for constructing a life that fulfills who and what you've come here to be, because you are here to make the difference, and the world needs us all now. God bless you. Thank you.
Well, that may have been stone soup, but it was really filling, and I think it was enough for everybody. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, for we know that there is only one power and one presence, one life. So whoever you are and wherever you are on your spiritual journey, we welcome you here this morning. If this is your first time and you feel comfortable in raising your hand, please do so. Leave it up long enough so our ushers can catch a glimpse of you. All right. Cool, we've got lots. I like it. You will receive a gift packet, and on the front of that, there's a form you can fill out and to be added to our mailing list of our weekly e-news update and our quarterly newsletter. Feel free to put that in the love offering basket instead of a donation today. Also, after the service, you can take that packet to our barista stand and get a free beverage of your choice. And then you can take it to the bookstore and get a free CD of today's.